NSTA reviewer Jacob Blickenstaff points out why some elements of the Disney flick Frozen should actually be bigger and adjusted for angular properties, and why this is useful to science teachers.
Summer in the city of Arendelle. It couldn't be warmer. It couldn't be sunnier. But that's about to change forever.
Arendelle.
It's completely frozen.
Cold.
My daughter started singing songs from Frozen months ago, even though she hadn't yet seen the movie. We finally got around to watching it a few weeks ago. Yes, I know, very much behind the times. And I was pleasantly surprised. Now that it's available to rent, teachers can use scenes from Frozen to talk about the real properties of ice and about some neat geometry in snowflakes. I suspect most of you know that this latest Disney animated feature is based on a Hans Christian Andersen story, The Ice Queen, and that two sisters, Anna and Elsa, are the main characters. Anna, voiced by Kristen Bell, and Elsa, Idina Menzel, not Adele Dazeem, are princesses in a northern kingdom. Elsa can magically freeze things, but her powers are not totally under her control. When both are very young, Elsa hurts Anna accidentally, and although Anna recovers, Elsa isolates herself in her room to prevent another accident. As young adults, we see how their relationship has changed when Elsa emerges from her room and Anna meets a prince from a neighboring kingdom. Further plot description is likely not needed, as any kid you meet under the age of 12 can probably tell you the rest of the story from memory. With a plot built around a young woman who can magically freeze things, the actual amazing properties of water ice are a good place to begin a discussion of the science in Frozen. Water molecules are bent. The two hydrogen atoms don't form a straight line with the oxygen. Water molecules are also polar, that is that the oxygen is negatively charged and the two hydrogens are positively charged. Water molecules bond to each other when unlike charges interact and stick together, which is what is going on in ice crystals. As water cools below 4 degrees Celsius, the bonds between the molecules actually spread them apart, and by the time ice is formed at 0 degrees Celsius, the density has been reduced by almost 10%. This means that ice floats on water, and that property is very important to life as we know it. Lakes and ponds freeze on the top and remain liquid below the ice layer. If ice was denser than water, it would sink, and it's very likely that most lakes would freeze solid in the winter. Most fish would have a hard time surviving in these conditions. The expansion of ice as it freezes also contributes to the weathering and erosion of mountains, as it breaks rocks apart when water freezes and cracks. At the start of Frozen, the animators get this right when we see ice being harvested from a frozen lake. The blocks of ice float with about 90% of the block below the surface of the water. Later on, there are a couple of scenes where the expansion is ignored, though. When Elsa causes the fjord near the castle to freeze, and it traps many wooden boats in place, the expansion of the ice should have crushed the hulls of all the ships. And that means when the thaw comes at the end of the film, every one of those boats should have taken on water and sank. Now, I know that's not a very festive ending, though. Also, the solid ice version of Anna should be about 10% bigger in volume than the normal Anna. We don't see her grow or shrink at all in the freezing and thawing process, and I think that would have been a neat effect. The bent shape of water molecules also leads to six-sided ice crystals and snowflakes with hexagonal symmetry. Go to the web version of this podcast to check out a picture of a real snowflake, and then look at the snowflake pattern we see in Elsa's ice castle. Both show the six-sided nature of ice crystals, and both have many sharp, spiky points. But look closely at the geometry of both. The spikes on the end of the real snowflake maintain the 60-degree angles that appear at the center. That snowflake could connect to another one, and it would maintain the hexagonal pattern. The interior spikes of Elsa's flake form a much smaller angle and do not continue the hexagonal pattern. Even as that pattern is forming on the floor of the castle, Elsa sings the lines, "My power flurries through the air into the ground. My soul is spiraling in frozen fractals all around." I thought it was pretty cool to hear a real mathematics term, fractals, being used in an animated film. Unfortunately, Elsa's crystals don't actually look like fractals that occur in nature because of the inconsistent angles I mentioned earlier. Real snowflakes and ice crystals do look like fractals because the small-scale structures and large-scale structures are built on identical geometrical principles. The geometry of Elsa's flakes isn't consistent, so different parts look really different, and the fractalness is destroyed. I hope science teachers will enjoy making use of Frozen for some cool science now that spring has finally arrived.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.
Olaf, you're melting.
Some people are worth melting for.
You're just moving out right this second.